All right, hello and welcome to the Bigly podcast. My name's Nick. I'm joined by my friend John, who's a web developer and web designer, or website designer, I should say. I first came in contact with John. I heard him on the Kyle Troubles podcast, and he was talking about these things called static sites, and I was really interested to learn more about them. I messaged you and you told me all about them, and since then I've moved all of my websites over from WordPress to Jekyll, or what we'll get into are static sites essentially. And but on the podcast you kind of just scratched the surface to what these websites are, and I wanted to learn more, and there's not a lot of good resources out there, so I think we've teamed up in this podcast to kind of explain to, I don't want to say the layman's person, but just someone who's unfamiliar with static sites, kind of give them an insight to what they are, an introduction to who uses them, what the benefits are, what's the pros and cons, and what you can do with them. And so I'm happy to have you on, John, and
Yeah, Nick, first of all, thanks for having me on. It's great to be here. So I guess I should introduce myself. My name is John. I'm 20 years old. I come from Sweden. You can probably hear by my accent that I'm not a native speaker. And I build websites for a living, and have been doing so for a few months full time, and as a sort of side gig for over a year now.
Cool. Yeah, and so you essentially build what's known as static websites, and so I guess we'll get right into it. Like I said, I came in contact with you when you were on Kyle's podcast, and you were talking about these things called static sites. So I guess we'll start with, what is a static site, and how does that differ from what a WordPress site is, which is known as a dynamic website? And I guess we'll just give a brief overview of what those two things are.
Yeah, that sounds good. So in a nutshell, I guess there are two kinds of websites online. First of all, dynamic and static websites. And these terms, they refer to how content is generated when a user requests a page from your website. So basically what that means is, if you have a dynamic website, which is to say if your website is built on WordPress or on Drupal, or any other sort of one of the main common website generators or content management systems, that means that each page is built dynamically every time a user requests it. So every time someone goes to your website, your server has to pull all these files together and spit out, or basically create the website from scratch based on these different files that are on your server. Whereas if you have a static website, so for example, one built on Jekyll or one built on Hugo or Middleman, there are a few of them, that means that the entire website is actually pre-generated before a user requests any page, which one of the main benefits is that it's much faster, because you kind of preload the work, so to speak, or front load the work. So you build the website once, and then you show that website to all your users, which means that static websites tend to load considerably faster than their dynamic counterparts. And the difference is quite significant as well. I mean, it's not uncommon for a static website to be 10 times faster or 20 times faster than a WordPress website or a dynamic website.
All right, interesting. So the speed is made up in the fact that your computer is having to send. I know when I do speed tests and I'll compare a dynamic site to a static site, you'll see one of the big differences is that in the speed test, it will have this line that says requests. And that's the amount of times that your computer's going to the database and asking for information and then bringing it back to you and compiling that on the fly. That's typically what's going on with a dynamic site, if I understand correctly, compared to a static site. So the less times so the more that's already pre-built, as you would say, or we use a good analogy where you already have the framework in place, the house is already built, maybe you're just bringing in the windows, you're just bringing in the doors, which would be in this case like the images, you're requesting a lot less information off that server. And and you don't even have a database, if that's correct, with a static site. Are those all things that, in your estimation, would equate these websites being faster than dynamic ones?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're almost correct. So the page requests are probably that you're talking about, that probably hasn't as much to do with you looking at dynamic versus static websites as, looking at WordPress versus non-WordPress or more professionally built websites, because WordPress websites tend to be built by people that aren't necessarily web designers or web developers, and so they tend to be not as well optimized in those respects. But yeah, so like I said, the main difference is that you've already built the website essentially if you have a static website when you visit it. So it's like with a dynamic website, you have to build the house from scratch every time that you want to come home. Whereas with a static site, you only have to build it once, which is obviously much better, and it makes sense in the real world as well. If I don't know anyone that, builds a new house every time they want to go to bed.
Right. Okay, so I guess I won't dig too deep into that then, and we'll just go with that. We'll just go with that. The essentially, it's already pre-built, and when you type in the website address, you go there. It doesn't have to build it on the fly, and
Yeah,
that's what
there's less
results in
pressure on the
speed.
server.
Okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's simple enough to understand. So what kind of speed? I know from things that I've seen, if I'm looking at the static sites that I look at and that you've showed me and that we've run speed tests on, if we see a site that hits 2 to 3 seconds load time for a static site, that's like slow. Is that whereas opposed to that would be for a dynamic website or a WordPress site, like that would be a well optimized fast WordPress site if you're getting your site to load in 2 to 3 seconds. And more commonly, from what I've seen, a WordPress site is loading anywhere from more in the realm of 5 to 10 to 15 seconds, depending on how big it is, how many files, how long the post is, how many images there are on it. Is that about what in equally a fast Cloud Cannon, or excuse me, a fast static site is more in the range of like 0.5 milliseconds to a second and a half. Is that about
Yeah,
right?
that sounds about right. Yeah, it's not uncommon for static sites, even before you do much sort of optimization and trying to get things down even further. It's not uncommon for static sites to load in, 500 milliseconds to 800 milliseconds, like under a second. Whereas most WordPress websites that I've come across tend to, like, the good ones tend to be around 5 seconds, but if you run into sort of your average WordPress website, it's probably quite likely that it's going to take 10 to 15 seconds to load it in, which is to me bizarre.
And I think the thing is we're seeing all of this stuff these days about low attention spans and quickness, and one of the we can talk about this on another podcast, but the why would speed be so important? But it seems pretty self-explanatory to me that I know personally if a website's taking too long to load, then you're just not going to wait, and you're going to, unless you really want the content. Yeah, it's just nice to have a fast loading website, and I think that that's really becoming one of the main ranking factors for Google because it feeds into bounce rate. And so that's probably the main reason why you're going to want a fast site. And then also for security, I think that when we see people like, I don't even know who we would, just in general, sites that are built on dynamic sites where they have databases, those databases can be hacked and you're constantly having to update them. Every time I know that I would log into WordPress, there's constantly a plugin to update, or WordPress itself has to update. You don't really have to worry too much about updates with Jekyll and static sites. Jekyll is the framework that you can build a static site on. But is that kind of the, is that another use, is that another one of the benefits that the security is much greater with
Yeah,
a static
absolutely.
site? There's nothing to hack, essentially.
Essentially, yeah, that's basically true. There are a couple of caveats to that, but just to sort of build on your reasoning around page speed, I happen to have, I guess, rehearsed or I happen to remember at least a few statistics on this. So I mean, obviously, one of the big reasons why you want a fast and sort of featherweight website is that so much of traffic is now mobile. So people aren't always going to be on these fast Wi-Fi connections. But there was actually a case study done fairly recently which showed that a 2 second delay in load time for e-commerce websites actually in load time during a transaction result, I think it was, resulted in an increase of 17%, so from 70% average cart abandonment rate for e-commerce websites to 87, which is, significant. If you're running an e-commerce website, I mean, that could be tens of thousands of dollars that you're losing out on every month just because your website is a little bit slower than it should be. But yeah, another, like you say, another main benefit is the security, because there aren't any databases to hack, there aren't any sort of server-side scripts to process. Basically, your only vulnerability is, someone accesses your computer or your, if you have a content management system, if someone figures out that password, like they have they place a virus on your computer or something like that. I mean, that's one of the only ways that they can actually get access to your website.
So this is probably not going to apply. I just remembered another benefit that we've talked about before as well, but this isn't going to apply to someone with a smaller blog. But if you're looking at building up a big site that's getting several hundred requests, every couple of minutes or every hour, that can also be beneficial as well. I know that we've talked the Netflix uses a static site for not their actual Netflix program, but for their devices page or one of their support pages is built on a static site. I know the Obama campaign built their website on a static site. The healthcare.gov, despite the fact that it crashed when it first opened, is also built on static framework. So can you talk? There's also some benefits, I guess, to the amount of traffic that a website can handle if it's a static site versus a dynamic site, or is that not really one of the, is that not a significant benefit?
No, I do think it's a significant benefit there, and I think there are two different aspects to that. So one of them is just generally being able to scale up a website. Obviously, a website such as the Obama campaign website or the healthcare.gov website, I mean, those are huge enterprise projects that have, I don't know how much money Obama spent on his campaign website, but I know that it managed to raise probably hundreds of millions of dollars for him during his presidential campaign. So obviously, to be able to accommodate that amount of traffic and that amount of complexity, it's very static websites are very good in that they're very simple, and that also makes them very flexible. So you can easily scale up, and you can really take things to the next level, whether you're a business owner or whether you're trying to raise money for a presidential campaign. And then the other aspect to that, which is probably going to be more relevant to most of the people listening to this podcast, is the amount of, so if your website is for some reason experiences a huge spike in traffic, so maybe you're a blogger and your blog post has gone super viral and you're getting 10,000 page views in a matter of an hour or something. Most websites that aren't static websites would probably crash. And you often hear about this where people speak sort of about when they got their breakthrough as a blogger, or when they had this first really popular blog post or something like that. They often describe how, oh, you know, my website went down and I was panicking and this and that, but it was a great experience and blah blah blah. So that won't really happen probably with a static website. So if you want to be able to tell that anecdote when you're being invited to the Tim Ferriss podcast, you probably don't want a static website. But if you want people to actually be able to read your content, a static website will be able to accommodate that much easier, because like I mentioned before, it's when you have a dynamic website, it has to rebuild the website every time someone visits it, which is why page traffic can be so taxing on these dynamic websites, because it has to rebuild itself every time, and that obviously introduces a lot of pressure on your web server, which wouldn't exist, at least in nowhere near to the same extent with a static website.
Right. Okay, that all makes sense. So I guess my next question, or the next thing that I would like to talk about, are there any cons then? So if these websites are so great, like why isn't everyone building them on? Why doesn't everyone have static sites? I mean, maybe they do, but from what I see, it seems like everyone's using WordPress. Do you think that? I guess not. I don't want to get into why you think that. People are on WordPress, but we can if you want. But what would be some drawbacks to a static site? Like what's going to be something that the average person's going to run into if they're thinking about using a static site, or just the general premise of a static versus a dynamic website in general? Like what are some drawbacks, or what are some cons to them?
Right, that's a good question. I don't quite know how to answer that without sort of backtracking a bit or going back into history. If you want to do that, then I'd be happy to.
Yeah,
Yeah.
let's go through it. I think it'll provide some nice context.
Yeah, absolutely. So for a long time, sort of at the beginning of the internet, so during, I guess, Web 1.0, the 1990s, that kind of time period, basically every website that was online was a static website, which meant that, you know, someone had written this in HTML and maybe they've added some styling to it, so some CSS to make it look prettier, maybe, you know, different colors, that kind of stuff. But so most, well, every website was a static website. That was sort of the original technology.
So it's like
But
at the dawn of
then,
time, everyone had a
right.
static site. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. It was kind of like
But it sounds like they were
the Garden of Eden of the internet.
okay, but they were very basic is what you're getting at.
Yeah, because there wasn't much to them. But then these dynamic websites came along, this dynamic site technology. And that sort of replaced the static sites, because it was at the time far superior, and because of a couple of different reasons. First of all, it made it easier for non-technical users to edit content with at least relative ease. So it introduced the possibility of adding content management systems, that kind of stuff, to the back end of a website, which meant that you no longer had to know HTML in order to have a website and write blogs. And then of course it made possible things like e-commerce, comment sections, contact forms, that kind of stuff. These different moving parts, so to speak, of a website. So that was, I think, one of the main reasons why dynamic site technology became so big, was because it was basically just superior. But then obviously technology is always changing and developing, evolving, regressing maybe in some aspects, I don't know. But anyhow, these static site generators started coming along maybe, I guess, around 2008, somewhere. There were probably similar things before that, but that was when sort of the main ones started being worked on and being developed, being launched. And basically, what they did was they acted as a kind of, I know we've talked a bit about this before, and you refer to it as a reverse wood chipper, where basically it's this big engine, right, that takes all of these different things, these small particles, these small parts, and then it sort of runs it through its engine, and then it outputs a static website. And so that's what we talk about now when most people are talking about static websites. That's what they're referring to. They're referring to this newer technology that came after the original static sites and the dynamic sites.
Okay. So it wasn't really until these static site generators came along, which those are like Jekyll and
Jekyll, Middleman, Hugo, yeah.
Hugo. Okay. So when those came along, they essentially allowed you to get away from just simple HTML to simple HTML, which is how the original static sites were built. Now it allowed you to take different components like Java, CSS, HTML, and then combine them all together and then just spit it out into one stream of HTML code and still keep a static site. Whereas opposed to with the dynamic sites, they got ahead of the static sites because they allowed you to put all those moving parts and develop, more robust websites at the time. But we've since come a long ways from those, and now we're having the ability to create equal or better static sites with these generators than you would with a dynamic site. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, these sort of engines or frameworks, I guess you could call them, these generators are basically doing all the legwork for you, so you don't actually, I mean, once you have the relevant HTML files that you need, then it will do, like, okay, backtrack a bit. So basically, what a static site generator does is it takes sort of a template directory containing mostly HTML files. It's going to contain a bit of CSS and probably a bit of JavaScript as well, if you want to be fancy with it. And then it runs it through this converter, right? And it combines it with your content. So one of the big innovations that static site generators have brought about is sort of separating content from design or from the actual templating. So basically, I mean, you know this. You've worked quite a bit with Jekyll these past few months, and when you write blog posts, you don't. It's not like you're sitting there with HTML or anything like that. You write it in Markdown, and then the Markdown gets compiled and combined with the HTML, and the static site generator basically outputs a HTML file like you'd expect it to.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that seems to cover a lot there. So basically the only cons really were old, and people are going off of old ways, essentially sticking with WordPress because these new abilities are only really have only really come about in the last couple of years and in the more recently. Well, the ability has been there since about 2008, 2009, you said, but only until the last couple of years or so has there been more technology and more ability to make equal sites to dynamic sites with static sites.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the beginning, around 2008, the static site generators, the sort of infrastructure that was built around them was very primitive. It was geared mostly towards sort of Silicon Valley types, engineers, people who did like computer science or who did programming for a living, and that was basically who it was geared towards. But obviously, as this has picked up more steam and gotten more popular, these different companies are always coming up with new ways to make the technology more accessible to non-technical users. But obviously that hasn't been around for as long as these static site generators. So it's still quite new, and it's, the documentation for it isn't perhaps as built
Robust.
out as it is for, as robust as it is for WordPress or Drupal. So I guess that's one of the main drawbacks. If we look at right here and now in 2017, I'd say the main drawback is sort of the lack of documentation geared towards non-technical users, and probably also the sort of obviously with WordPress, you can choose from thousands of different website themes, so you don't actually you don't have to know how to design a website yourself, and you don't necessarily have to pay a web designer. But so that still isn't as built out as well with these static websites. There are themes, but they're not as
I was looking at
there aren't as
themes,
many of them.
right? I was looking at the themes yesterday, and I think I almost went through all of the ones that are available on the internet, which you just wouldn't be able to do with WordPress. There's thousands and thousands of WordPress themes, and there's about, maybe less than 200 for Jekyll. Some of them are quite nice, and I don't want anyone to get the impression that you can't build an equal or better site to a WordPress site with a static site, because that's definitely not the case. You definitely can. And it's just, yeah, there's, so it seems to me like, and from what I've, gathered, and from the experiences that I've had working with it, it's mostly the documentation. There's not a lot of information out there. There's not a lot of, there, it's just the usability. It maybe isn't quite there with the content management systems, compared to a WordPress site. So we are kind of in that ground floor, and that's one of the drawbacks, is if you do use a static site in this day and age, in 2017, you're essentially an earlier, I guess you're not an early adopter, but if you believe that this is going to become more usable and more user-friendly, you are essentially an early adopter for the non-technical user, like you would call them. For if you're not a developer, then yeah, you are on the cutting edge in some sense, because this has been around for longer than dynamic sites. But as far as being able for a non-technical user to use this, that technology has only been around up until recently, I think. Is that kind of
Yeah,
what
absolutely.
you
I
would say?
mean, yeah, I think that's the main drawback is that the technology is still relatively new, and so there isn't the same sort of infrastructure built around it that you would have with WordPress. But I think that's always the case when you're sort of an early adopter of any technology, that is going to be sort of, or that you believe is going to be the next big thing, is you do have to sort of, you have to pave the way for other people to sort of come and piggyback ride off. Is that how you say it? Piggyback ride off of your work, kind of. So you have to discover things for yourself, and you have to get sort of down and dirty with the documentation that maybe isn't as friendly towards non-technical users, or as easy for them to understand.
And that's kind of
I
what
mean,
I've.
just to put things into perspective, I mean, I think WordPress has been around since 2003, and Jekyll, which is the actual generator, has been around since I think 2008, and most of the sort of content management systems that have been built for Jekyll and these other generators, I mean, most of them were founded maybe 2012 to 2015, somewhere in that range. So it's still quite new and it's still quite young, but it's, I think the sort of web development world is definitely trending towards static websites, and that's where the arrow is pointing, I think.
That's what you've seen, and you're much more in it than I am, as far as from the developer side. And I know you look at a lot of different websites where they show world-class designed websites, the highest of the high end, and where those, where those trends are pointing. And is that, to expand on that, that's what you would say? You've seen a lot of this, a lot of development in this field, just from the research that I've done. I mean, anything past 2014 seem, I can't find much information on these static site generators. I know you said they've been around, but that's, it feels like that was like super niche, and now it's only really becoming somewhat niche now. I would say.
Yeah, it's picking up speed. It's gaining more mainstream sort of traction, I guess. It's not just, engineers that are working with this anymore. It's web designers. It's graphic designers. It's big agencies, all around the U.S. and the world. So yeah, I definitely think this is where the arrow is pointing, even if it's a long way from being the sort of go-to option. I mean, WordPress is still the most popular sort of website system. It's facing, I think it's facing a lot more competition now than it was just a few years ago, and that's certainly true with regards to static websites and Jekyll. That Jekyll is definitely becoming more and more popular, and that is experiencing, I think, exponential growth in terms of the amount of websites that are being built on it.
I think the biggest thing for me, and we'll wrap up on this for at least for the intro, part one of this, we essentially would like to do a series to explain more about this and get into the content management system, more about Jekyll, etc. But the biggest thing for me is if like we're moving towards a faster world, and time is money, and you can't get time back, and all of those things that we hear, all the cliches that we like to talk about. Yes, it may only be a couple of seconds, but like you said, if you're talking about cart abandonment rates of 17% because someone's website, as trivial as it may seem, website took too long to load, when you're getting into a more and more competitive landscape, you're going to be looking at a 17% gain is significant for any type of website in any metric at all. So when you're looking at those types of things and you're looking at a more competitive, websites competing against each other, one of the main metrics that they're competing against is speed. And that's really what I see with static sites. And the biggest thing that drew me to them is that you're starting from a much higher base. You don't have to worry about downloading, installing like plugin super cache and how to, all the, and it's like you need like five plugins to speed up your WordPress site. Whereas opposed to this, it's like it's all just built in. It's just you're starting from a much cleaner base. You're not trying to like bandage up some problem to make it better. There is no problem. It's just the very nature of a static site is it already is fast. So that's the, like the biggest reason. The biggest case that I would see for them, I guess for larger sites, yes, the security is a big factor, certainly, and then also being able to handle additional traffic is certainly another one for the large sites. But yeah, I guess that I think that
Yeah,
that kind of
speed, security, and maintenance cost is probably the three biggest sort of benefits that
right.
you get with a static site, yeah.
You're not updating plugins, you're not updating WordPress itself. All of those things seem to come into play. But there
Yeah,
is a trade-off. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say you don't have to worry about, upgrading your server capabilities or your bandwidth or anything like that, because obviously it's a much more lightweight system. So
It's
you
scalable.
barely ever have to. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, cool. Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, for this first podcast, I think that we'll wrap it up, and then in the upcoming ones, we'll go into how would someone even attempt to take a WordPress site and move it over to a static site? What is the usability of these? How user friendly is it these days? I mean, we talked a little bit about it, and it is becoming more user friendly. At least in the last couple of years, it has become more user friendly. I'm using it for all of my niche websites that I'm running, and yeah, I've had I think we'll get into that in the next podcast. But it's certainly been a learning experience, but one that I've enjoyed and one that I'm finding great benefit from. So yeah, thanks for coming on, John, and yeah, look forward to talking to you next week.
Me too. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Bye.